Morning, everybody. Welcome to First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church. I'd like to welcome you, and we're glad that you can be part of our worship today. Let's pray. Oh, Father of Lights, we worship you as the giver of all good gifts. And so we thank you that in many places, the rate of positive cases of COVID-19 is decreasing. We thank you for healing many people who had the coronavirus. We thank you for the scientists who are researching vaccines and cures for the disease. And we thank you for government leaders who've had to make difficult decisions to protect people from illness and yet not suffer too much economic loss. And we thank you that when it comes to the way the pandemic affects us personally, it is more of an inconvenience to many of us than a crisis, because you have blessed us with good health and enough wealth. But we realize that you have not blessed us so that we could just keep all of our blessings to ourselves. Instead, you have blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others. So help us to look for opportunities to encourage those who are lonely and depressed. Help us to lend a hand to those who are struggling with taking classes online. Help us to give to those who are hurting financially. And help us to pray for all of the above. I thank you for opportunities for our church to help others. Thank you that our youth have made cards for the elderly shut-ins in a local nursing home. Thank you that the church board has allocated $1,500 to feed hungry orphans in Bolivia. And we pray for Dae Guang that in this worship service, he will effectively share the opportunity for us to give more to this project. There are so many good causes to give to. So may you give us wisdom about whether you would want us to give to this particular one. We pray for the missionaries our church supports. We pray particularly for the Millikens and the Tans who've been forced to return to the USA because of the pandemic. We pray that this time at home would be a time of refreshing and renewal. We pray that they would be able to continue to support those they have left behind in the countries they have served. Thank you for the big impact that our missionaries are making on world evangelism. May we follow their example and use the blessings you have given to us to also make a big impact on world evangelization. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us today to give us the wisdom and the courage to do this. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a terrible epidemic that swept through the land of Cosmos. And everybody that was affected by the disease ended up dying a horrible death. And tragically, the fatal disease had infected almost everybody in the land of Cosmos. There was only two people that were not infected, a wise old man named Theos and his only son named Christos. The wise old man had pity for the people of his land and began to search for a cure for the disease. He discovered that the disease originated from a fruit called the harmatia. And once a person ate of the harmatia fruit, he not only became infected, but any children born to him would also be infected. Theos also discovered that the only cure for the epidemic would be an injection of a few drops of the blood of a non-infected person. Since Theos and Christos were the only ones who had never eaten of the harmatia fruit, Christos volunteered to donate his blood to the cause. And since there were so many people that needed his blood, Christos volunteered to donate all of his blood to the cause. At first, Theos rejected the plan because he did not want his son to die. But when he realized that there was no other way to save the people of the land, he gave in to his son's desire. Immediately, Theos began to administer the cure to the friends of his deceased son. And once the friends were injected with the blood, they were immediately healed from their disease. Theos then told the cured friends to spread the news of the cure to all the people in the land. If they would do their job correctly, soon all the people in the land would at least hear the good news of the cure, and hopefully most of them would come to Theos for the cure. At first, the enthusiastic friends brought many people to Theos, and they were cured from their disease. But as the years went by, the saved people got distracted with the busyness of life. As a result, they told fewer and fewer people each year about the cure. Consequently, more and more people died of the Harmatia epidemic. From time to time, the saved people would think about all the people who had never heard of the cure, and then they would complain to each other, "Isn't Theos unfair to let people who had never heard of his cure to die in their disease?" You know, many of us Christians are just like those people. God has provided the cure for the penalty of sin. He sacrificed his son on the cross so that all humans in this world could be saved. And he has provided the means for everybody in the world to hear the good news of the cure by commanding the saved people to spread the good news to the ends of the earth. But instead of taking our responsibility seriously, we Christians often complain that God is unfair for letting those people who hadn't heard about Jesus go to hell. But whose fault is it that they are going to hell? The God who sacrificed his son? Or the saved people who have gotten distracted from their responsibility? You know, if every Christian would take this responsibility seriously, every person would hear about the gospel within a few years, and millions of those people would be saved from their sins. The good news is that you and I can play an important part in this mission to save the world. In other words, you and I can not only make a big impact on the people in our community here in the Ithaca area, but you and I can make a big impact on people throughout the entire world. You know, a lot of Christians are bored. I talk to students who find their classes boring and irrelevant. I talk to local residents who find their job monotonous, just doing the same thing over and over again. And during these times of social distancing, people are even more bored than ever because they're stuck at home. But all this could change if we could understand that God has called us to be rescuers. He has called us to be heroes who can join his cause to save the world. In other words, he has called us to play an important role in world evangelization. But you might ask, how in the world can I make an impact on world evangelization? I'm no Billy Graham, I'm no Mother Teresa, I'm only an insignificant Christian without any special skills. What can little old me do for the cause of world evangelization? How can I play a significant role? Well, we can discover the answer to these questions in Romans chapter 15, verses 8 through 33. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul challenges his readers to expand their vision beyond their local community so that they can make a big impact on the entire world. He does this first by challenging them to follow some godly examples, and then he does it by requesting their help. As a result, the Apostle Paul reveals 10 things that we can do to make a big impact on world evangelization. Well, the first thing that we can do is found in Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Romans chapter 15 and verse 8. Where the Apostle Paul writes, "For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth." The first thing that we can do to make an impact on world evangelization is to follow Christ's example by becoming a servant. Now notice that the Apostle Paul uses the title Christ instead of the name Jesus. The word for Christ is the Greek translation for the Hebrew word Messiah. They both mean anointed one. The term Christ is referred to the promised King of the Jews that the Old Testament prophets proclaimed would someday come and save the world. In other words, the King of the Jews became the servant of the Jews. Jesus did not demand that the Jews bow down to worship him, though he had every right to. Instead, Jesus knelt down and he washed the feet of his Jewish disciples. Jesus Christ was a servant. On the surface, this doesn't seem to make sense. The world tells you that if you want to become influential, you need to demand your rights. You need to manipulate people to serve you. But the Bible says that if we want to have a great influence, we need to become servants. The true measure of success is not how many people serve you. Instead, the true measure of success is how many people you serve. The true measure of success is not the quality of service that other people give you. Instead, the true measure of success is the quality of service that you give other people. Now, what does serving have to do with world evangelization? A servant is somebody who's more concerned about the needs of others than he is about his own needs. So if you want to make a big impact on world evangelization, you need to be more concerned about the needs of lost people than you are about your own needs. You need to be more concerned about the salvation of your classmates than you are about getting good grades. You need to be more concerned about world missions than you are about buying a big house or getting a fancy car. You need to be willing to do the unpleasant tasks so that the Great Commission can be fulfilled. Well, the second thing that we can do to make a big impact on world evangelization is revealed in verses 8 through 12. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. So what is the purpose of world evangelization? Why do we want to get people saved? Well, the obvious answer is that we want more people to get saved so that less people will go to hell. And that is a good reason. But that's not the primary reason. The primary reason why we want more people to be saved is because we want more people to worship God. You see, we should be so enthralled with God. We should be so amazed with him that we want other people to give God the adoration that he so richly deserves. So is that your passion? The Bible says that someday in heaven there will be a choir of different shades of colors, people that speak different languages, and people who love different styles of music. And they will all be gathered around the throne praising God. So if you want to make a big impact on world evangelization, the second thing that you should do is to make it your passion to recruit people to be part of that heavenly choir. Well, the third thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is revealed in verses 14 through 16. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, the third thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is to not merely make converts, but instead to make disciples. In other words, when it comes to world evangelization, we should be more concerned about quality than quantity. Our goal shouldn't be merely to get people to pray the sinner's prayer. Instead, our goal should be to help people love God the way that they should. And the Roman Christians were not mere converts. You know, in verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes that the Roman Christians were full of goodness. In other words, they were morally good people. They were also filled with knowledge. In other words, they knew the Bible like the back of their hand. And furthermore, they were competent to instruct one another. In other words, not only were they good people, not only did they know how to be good, but they also knew how to teach other people to be good. And that's the way that Christians should be. Our goal should not just be to make disciples. Instead, our goal should be to make disciples who make disciples. Our goal should be to equip disciples to help other people to be good people, who know how to be good people and know how to disciple others to be good people. And it becomes an ongoing legacy of disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples, and on it goes. Well, the fourth thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is found in verses 17 through 19. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except that what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. You know, the fourth thing we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is that we need to rely on the triune God instead of ourselves. God did miraculous things through the Apostle Paul because he served the Father, he gave glory to the Son, and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that God wants to do some great things through us, even if we are weak. He wants to do things that we cannot even think of or hope for. And he will do that if we are relying on him instead of trying to do everything on our own power. It would be awesome if everybody in our church was filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine the miracles that could happen within our midst. Well, the fifth thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is found in verses 19 through 21. So from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on somebody else's foundation. Rather, it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. You know, the fifth thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is that we need to consider pioneer missions. The Apostle Paul was involved in pioneer missions. He was evangelizing unreached people who had never heard the gospel. And to complete the Great Commission today, we are going to need more people who are going into pioneer missions to tell people who have never heard the gospel about Jesus Christ. You know, there are still over 7,400 people groups who have never heard about Jesus. According to Joshua Project, a ministry that specializes in reaching unreached people, the definition of an unreached people group is a people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize this people group without outside assistance. And because of this criteria, this ministry considers any people group that has less than 2% evangelical Christians to be an unreached people group. In other words, unless Christians like you and I go to share the gospel with them, they most likely are never going to hear it, because there's hardly anybody in their people group who are Christians. Less than 8% of foreign missionaries are ministering to unreached people group. God certainly does not call all of us into pioneering missions. If he did, I would be living in disobedience. But I believe he is calling more Christians into pioneering missions than those who are actually going. You got to think that if there are so many people who have never heard about Jesus, that there are some Christians that God is calling, but they're not obeying his call. So my question is, are you willing to do pioneering missions? Some of you have skills that I do not have. For example, some of you speak Mandarin. And you know, there are people groups in China who have never heard the gospel. And maybe Mandarin is their second language, but they probably speak Mandarin a lot better than they speak English. And I would think that in a group of Christians that is as large as the people within the sound of my voice, that God may be calling some of you to be pioneer missionaries. Maybe it's one of the youth. Maybe it's one of the college students, or maybe it's even one of us older people. But what an exciting challenge. What could be more fulfilling than one day in heaven and having a whole group of people come up to you and say, none of us would be here if you would not have been willing to go to us? Well, the sixth thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization can be found in verses 22 through 24. And that is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey after I've enjoyed your company for a while. The sixth thing we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is that we need to go unless we are called to stay. Some of you may have heard of Josh McDowell. He's the man who wrote the book Evidence That Demands a Verdict and More Than a Carpenter. And one day, he and his wife were eating dinner with a medical student, and Josh asked the student why he wasn't using his medical degree to do missions work. And the student replied, I told God that if he opened the door, I would go. And Josh said in mock disbelief, what are you saying? There are thousands of doors open. They're open wide, John. Everywhere I go, I run into missionaries who tell me about medical clinics that they run. They have been praying for years that God would send them a Christian doctor. John, why don't you tell God, Lord, I'm going to serve you as a full-time medical missionary unless you close the door. If you do not want me to go, then you close the door. The medical student replied, well, that sounds interesting, Josh. I've never heard that before. Josh said, neither had I until I read the Bible. Look at the Apostle Paul. He did not say to the Romans, maybe if the doors open, I'll be there someday. So, are you willing to tell God, I will be a missionary to another culture unless you call me to stay? Well, the seventh thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is found in verses 25 and 26. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. The seventh thing we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is that we need to give sacrificially to world missions. A few years ago, a report compared life in the U.S. in the 1950s to life in the U.S. in the 21st century. The report revealed how prosperous Americans have become. For example, in the 1950s, less than 1% of Americans had a house that was larger than 2,000 square feet. 50 years later, 52% of Americans lived in a house that is that large. And in the 1950s, Americans spent about 44% of their food on food and clothing. In the 21st century, we only spend about 25%. So you would think that all this extra money that we Americans have would be giving much, that we would be giving much to missions, right? We should be giving more to charity, right? Actually, we're not. In the 1950s, the average American spent about 6% of his income on charities. But in the 21st century, it's less than half. It's about 2.6% of our income. And less than 10% of that goes to foreign missions. And less than 5% of that tiny 0.26% of the gray line symbolizing foreign missions donations go to support missions to unreached people groups. So let's just think through the math. Are we doing a good job investing in eternity if we spend less than 1% in reaching unreached people groups? Well, the eighth thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is found in verse 27. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them in their material blessings. The eighth thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is that we need to invest in holistic missions. Holistic means to help out both the spiritual and the physical. Throughout the centuries, Christians would help in both areas. They would build orphanages, they would free slaves, they would do all these things, but they would also share the gospel. But then in the early 1900s, there was a group of modernists who were saying, well, all religions are equally good, so let's just focus on helping the poor people. Let's educate them, feed the sick, and things like that. But let's not waste our time trying to convert people to our religion. But then there was a group of Christians called the fundamentalists who said, why should we educate a person who's going to be a smart heathen who will eventually die and go to hell? And why should we give food to a person who's just going to get full and then is going to die and go to hell? Let's just save them. That's the only important thing. But the Apostle Paul was a great example of a holistic missionary. He was concerned about people's spiritual and physical needs. He was concerned about introducing people to Jesus Christ so that they could be saved from their sins, but he was also concerned about feeding the hungry. And I'd like to share a modern-day example of holistic missions. In January of 2019, 9 members from our church went on a mission trip to Bolivia to help Day Guang and Day Gong's missionaries' family. That family's mission organization has planted over 70 churches. And through those churches, hundreds of people have converted to Christianity and become committed disciples of Jesus. But that mission organization has also started a hospital, a prison ministry, and several schools, including a medical school. So they heal the sick, educate the poor, and feed the hungry. Bolivia has been an impoverished country, but because of the pandemic, Things have gone from bad to worse. But we at First Ithaca Chinese Christian Church have a chance to help them. And so right now, I would like to ask Dae Gwang Chung Kim to share what we can do. So Dae Gwang, if you're there, let's put you on.
Yes, sure, 1 second. I will share my screen, so since I have a PowerPoint prepared. Amazing. Okay, I hope you guys can hear me and hopefully you can see me clearly. Hello everybody, my name is Dae Gwang Chung Kim, and I'm sure that many of you already know me. But just in case for people who do not know me yet, I am an upcoming senior at Cornell, studying human biology, health and society.
It's just something about cancer.
So, like Pastor Paul said, like he really gave a really nice introduction of like that I was born in a missionary family. The mission has gone already for more than 40 years now, started from my grandparents. They went to Bolivia, and then thank God we have been able to. God has been using our mission continuously to build, like as Paul said, more than 70 churches and various schools and clinics to provide those resources and access of those resources to people that do not have it. So right now here, I'm just wanted to report you guys the current situation in Bolivia and how Bolivia is dealing with the COVID-19, the lockdown situation. So unfortunately, the lockdown situation in Bolivia is not very beneficial. It's actually more detrimental than beneficial to the people. I really wish I could share everything that is happening in Bolivia, but like I'm just gonna mention some little things that is happening right now. You can find more information about this from the email that will be sent soon. So the lockdown system is pretty much does not allow anyone to get out of their houses, because if they find you outside, they will put you in jail. So people cannot drive. That means that people cannot work. They cannot buy food unless they're specifically allowed to do it certain times of the day. But that is it's not working for the people, especially with the low economic status, which that is in result causing people to literally be starving to death. So some of the examples that my dad was able to got some reports from was that a family a couple of weeks ago, a family reported that they had not been eating at all. They have only been drinking lemonade for 3 days straight as their only source of food. And then another report was that a college student was found fainted in his dorm because he didn't eat for a whole week. And these are only few of the examples that are happening like around Bolivia. And unfortunately, recently they have been reporting that people have been suicide because people cannot deal with the pain of hunger that they are going through. You can find more information about that on the email. So right now, honestly, the lockdown situation and literally the hunger that is happening in Bolivia is a bigger issue than the virus right now. So because of this, my family has and the mission overall has been trying to help out the community around by giving free medical treatment. So if you see here, this is my father, and we put like a tent outside, and then we just allow people to come, and then if they come, we just treat them. And there's my dad treating the patient and like praying for him. And another way that we are also helping people due to the hunger that is happening is by making care packages. So here you can see that they're with the people who are helping out in their mission, with the people who are helping. Workers in the university, workers in the hospital, they're all coming together, and we are trying to help the people by giving care packages. So here you can see on the left that there are a ton of people who need food. Like they actually do not have food, and they come here to get the care packages. And you can see my dad like explaining and giving food. And moreover, we have not only that, but we have been able to go use like we have been sending food to houses that need it. So here you can see that we on the left, top left, is my uncle, and he's having like we have a ton of bread packages and a ton of like noodle packages that we and they go around the community to give to the families that cannot go to buy food because it's so far, or the stores are closed because of the lockdown. So here you can see that we are sending the food, and people they always pray for the food and for the blessing that God has provided through the mission to the people that need it. So currently my father is planning a project that to give care packages to an orphanage to feed more than 250 children. So each, as you can see in here, each care package can feed more than 4 weeks, around 4 weeks worth of food for one child. And one care package is 100 bolivianos, which is like currency Bolivia, which is around $14. And the project is like to feed 250 children, and so 250 care packages would be around $3,500. So I would, I wanted to ask you guys if you would like to take part of this project to be able to provide food to the children to this orphanage right now. And honestly, any financial help will be gladly, like, will be such a blessing for the people in Bolivia. And the current project that we, or the current goal that we have right now, is to raise $2,000, which apart from that, thankfully and gracefully, $1,500 have already been given by the mission committee from FIG. So if this is something that is in your heart, and I would really encourage you to pray about this, if you are willing to give any financial help for this project that we're doing in Bolivia, you can send a donation to the same PayPal account that FIG has, but then in the notes section or the comment section, you can write "For Bolivia Fund," so that then the church can know like what donation it is for this project that we're currently have. But I would really invite you that, more importantly, most importantly, to be praying about the people in Bolivia. And I'm sure that it is not only in Bolivia, but it's also all around the world that even worse things are happening. So I really encourage you guys to continue praying for the world, for the countries, and for the people who especially do not know about the gospel, because many of them are going to all these, and sadly they decide to take their life away, or they decide to do crime because of the lockdown system. And so I do encourage you to pray for the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dae Quang, for sharing about that opportunity, and what a privilege it is for those of us who have been blessed financially to help those people who have not been as blessed in that way. And you know, since I went on the mission trip to Bolivia, I had a chance to witness to the effectiveness of Dae Quang's family's mission. And I know that they will be good stewards of the funds that they received. And our church mission committee is already committed to give $1,500 to help with this cause. But I encourage you to consider whether you would like to donate any additional funds to this cause. We know that there's a lot of good causes that you could give to, there's other ones that you could give to, and that's I just encourage you to seek God and ask Him where He would want you to financially give to others. Well, the ninth thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization can be found in verse 30. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our loving Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. You know, the word for struggle can actually be translated as battle. You see, prayer is a battle. The ninth thing that we need to do to make a big impact on world evangelization is that